You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.
Around the NFL podcast has not considered trading for Baker or Jimmy.
From the Chris Wessling podcast studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. I'm in a studio filled with some heroes. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler sitting to my right. Don't you dare call him Pat. Patrick Laybon.
What's up, everybody?
What's up?
You can call me whatever you want.
All right.
I'm glad to be here. I'll take it. I got paper in my hand. This is crazy.
Dan likes using unpopular ways to say people's names. He likes calling him Pat Claybon. He likes calling me Greggy, which only
called Wes
Dan
Chris.
Dan and Debbie Rosenthal, like my mom. Used.
Unpopular is almost like there's like a negative connotation to that. It's more just like more off the grid.
Like a lesser alias.
Yeah.
Well, even lesser is a kind of negative way to look at it. It's just more like off the beaten path of how the person is addressed.
It was at the point, though, because, again, these text conversations that bubble up during the weekend, you were
saying... Which we apologize for.
No. Perfectly pleasant. It's just that I don't always track them as carefully as I would if it were, you know, right before a burning work meeting or something. And it's like, oh, let's have Pat on the show. And I spent a big chunk of yesterday thinking that we were having Roto Pat, who's been on our show before, to join us for the QB debate. So,
which he would have been great on the
program. He would have done a fantastic... But I think we've got our guy right here, Claybon.
Shout out to Pat Daugherty.
Yeah, shout out to Pat, who goes by Pat, right?
Roto Pat.
Yeah. Which is, but it's not a...
I call him Patrick.
Yeah, it's a not lesser, but Dan would never talk about Revenge of the Sith. He would say Episode 3.
I have no idea.
He wouldn't either, but yes.
Right. All right. Save for the Spock podcast.
Oh, my God.
All right, that'll be fun.
Just a needle, right? So, anyway.
Dan knows so much more than
exactly,
he lets on.
Because you
absurd.
Have to right. do this stuff like that.
Dan definitely has a Bill Belichick talking about my face vibe whenever Star Wars comes up.
Facts.
I'm not so sure about this. My face.
I honestly, I've said it to you, Mark, I have not seen the films. I maybe saw them when I was 4 or 5, the initial ones.
Oh,
and then I saw Phantom Menace in 99.
La Reveal.
And well, it's like saying I don't eat French food because the one time I went and had food at a French restaurant, I was poisoned. Because Phantom Menace is the equivalent of that. Like,
but again,
terrible.
I haven't seen any of them other than the ones as a kid.
I know. I don't defend more than about 8 hours of the entire product. That's the thing that I get annoyed by.
It's I have institutional knowledge just because you guys won't shut up about it for 35 straight years. And by you guys, I mean, well, you guys, yes, but the rest of America and the world as well.
You're our pop culture liaison with a massive blind spot to it one is. Of the biggest events in American cinema history.
It's why Mark always wants Pat on the show to even out the Star Wars numbers.
I'll take it. Anytime I can shoehorn 5 minutes of prequel discussion. I should say, whatever you want.
I don't, that's not a self, I've never said that I am the pop culture savant of this show. I have a very, I'm passionate about
You said of the entire NFL media group at one point, that was sort of where you were going with your trajectory.
Old end around scores being settled here.
No, I'm just, that was an interest of you. You like to blend pop culture with football and sport.
But I've never said I am the voice of this show for pop culture.
Not of this show.
You're foisting that upon me.
I meant more of NFL media, a larger kingdom. This little thing, no.
So you bring up Star Wars.
Yeah, this is my fault, but I'm okay with it because we talked about the prequel.
I will, and I have said one of those dopey movies I said to you and Zumwalt, I'll watch it with you.
Right.
Teach me.
You're overrating my interest in the whole thing, too. No, I'm being foisted into a position of like, I've already told you what I feel about this. Greg is falling asleep right now. He wants to move on.
Anyway.
I'm just saying, like, someone that can like compare and contrast different Carrie Fisher biographies are probably in it at the high level that Dan is saying.
Which is fine.
Well, that's your opinion.
Which is fine. I don't want you ever to feel uncomfortable about being a Star Wars
character. Because I am actually, there is more nuance to it. That's all.
Tell me about it.
I'm telling you that I'd think about
88%
of the product is unattractive to me. I think they've largely failed in massive ways.
Tough sitch. All right, let's get into today's show because we got a very important program.
I'm leaving.
I cannot believe we would be caught up with that madness when we have come together for the return. Hit it, Greg. Ah, you chopped off my hand. Ah, I'll get revenge. Nailed it. You are my father.
No, that's
backwards. Again, see.
All right, here we are. Here we are. I'm making enemies in the room here. This is A Golden Boy, again, by Sam Spence, the legend. NFL Films. The quarterback is the golden boy of this sport. And if we've carved out any niches within the NFL landscape, the NFL media landscape through the years, it's great. That's awesome. And if you had to pin something that we've done on this show that has gotten the most traction, it's the Dalton Scale. And the Dalton Scale is a creation the great late Chris Wessling. And and I was going to describe what that is, but as I always did whenever we did this exercise, and we didn't do it last year because last year was a pretty heavy year, but we've done it every other year on this show, I would always open this exercise by throwing it to Chris and saying, Chris, what is the Dalton Scale? I also always needed a reminder.
You always struggled with it. I'm still not totally sure you've got it, but let's see.
I think I have it now. This is what Chris said the last time we did this exercise with him in 2019.
Andy Dalton is the prime meridian of NFL quarterbacks. He represents quarterback purgatory. If you are ranked below Andy Dalton, your franchise needs a quarterback. If you're ranked above Andy Dalton, you're in ship shape. Everything's figured out. You're good to go.
And later in that same episode, and it was so nice to go back and listen and hear Chris's voice. He was in good form. He was healthy at this time in his life.
It was days before his wedding.
Days before his wedding. Right. He had beaten cancer the first time and was on top of the world. So it was really, it's a nice listen if you ever want to go back and listen and hear the essence of Wes. He also went on and explained why the scale works and always will work, whether or not Andy Dalton's involved or not.
The beauty of this scale is that it's truly reflective of quarterback play in the NFL. He could be ranked 14 one year and still be the prime meridian, and the next year be ranked 24th and still be the prime meridian.
So here we are.
So right.
So here we are. And that's true. And this is, tell me if I'm understanding it correctly, Greg Rosenthal. Greggy. Andy Dalton is the prime meridian. So there can be 23 quarterbacks that are true franchise guys. And that just means that there are more
upper level quarterbacks than other years in this, in the, using this as an example. But Dalton will always remain that cutting point, the break point between the guys you can trust and believe in and the riffraff. And as a team builder, anyone below Andy Dalton, you probably have to have a serious conversation about whether he should be the leader of your team.
Well, I think we need to find who's the new Andy Dalton on some level, because exactly. Andy Dalton's now a backup. And I think we'll get into who we are considering, who we're not. Some of the youngest quarterbacks, they don't really fit the Dalton scale as much. It's more for someone that you've seen for a few years, maybe not just 1 year, not rookies, certainly. So it's also the memory of Dalton, of who Dalton was for the majority of that run with the Bengals. Now, of course, he's a backup with the Saints. And I have a feeling Andy Dalton's going to be part of this 2022 season more than we expect. In some way or another, it's just going to happen that Andy Dalton's making a big-time spot start. But he's no longer really
right.
The prime meridian.
This is the Dalton scale. And yet, when I look at the list that we all put together, and then we had a consensus list that Gravedigger helped put together, Andy Dalton doesn't appear anywhere because the passages of time. And I would say before we get into our list, before we get into the consensus list, I think it is important that we pay respect to the man for which the exercise was named by Chris Wessling. Hit it, Graver.
Dalton's had success throwing to Tyler Boyd out of the slot. He's got single coverage right now. Green for sure will be doubled at the bottom of the screen.
Ravens trying to end it here. Fourth down. Dalton steps up. Dalton throws. It's complete. Caught by Boyd. Tyler Boyd. Touchdown. Remarkable. The Cincinnati Bengals have stunned this crowd.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Week 17, 2017. Dalton knocks the Ravens out of the playoffs, gets the Bills off the schneid and back into the postseason. Wes was pretty annoyed about that, if you recall.
He was.
He was not like, he was annoyed that the Bills were not good. And he was kind of on that, like, guys, don't respect them if they made the playoffs because they're not a good team. Wasn't there a heat there? I kind of recall that.
Yeah, there's a Tyrod Taylor-led Bills team. That
very different than the Bills team. They are no relation to the team, really.
No, and they fizzled out to the Jaguars in one of the weirder, low octane wild card games we've ever witnessed.
Oh, that's right, Bortles, right?
And I now know, Dan, why you came into the newsroom. Our newsroom is like very hushed, and
it's like a fallout.
It's really strange.
Abandoned.
But Dan came in belting that song out. it turned heads.
Is that the last great Dalton moment? I mean, he's had a couple since. He's had some decent starts since, but I don't know if there's been anything like that.
I think that's the Dalton moment.
Which is funny.
Because they were playing out the string, as I recall,
yeah.
Cincinnati, and that was just a stunning knife through the heart of the Ravens in their building. Just a kind of a great, certainly the last great Cincinnati Dalton moment. All right, so let's get into it. Great to hear from Wes. Great to pay respect to Andy Dalton. Hey, last time we did it in 2020, I asked Graver to go check it out. We did this with Chris also to see the previous year, what kind of takes stood out from the Dalton scale the last time we did it. And now if you could share some. And Patrick, I know you also checked out the app, so if you had anything to share. But what do you got there, Gravedigger?
Gravedigger.
Very good.
Yeah, so like Greg just said, even back in 2020, you guys were discussing, should Andy Dalton still be the scale, or do we need to find a new player to be that prime meridian quarterback? And there was some thoughts that Dave Damashek was actually on that episode. Thought maybe Cam Newton could be that guy, maybe Ryan Tannehill. A couple people said Ryan Tannehill, Jared Goff. But then Derek Carr came up. And there was a big sticking point around Derek Carr because you guys all had him ranked slightly different. You all kind of agreed that Carr might be the new prime meridian, except for Mark, who was very low on Derek Carr and actually said he would take Gardner Minshew over Derek Carr back on
Checks
that
out.
Episode. that was the hottest bad take, but really all of you guys were pretty low on Carr. I feel like
Is Minshew have a job right now, by the way? Or is he still on the street?
Come on, he's a backup quarterback.
Eagles.
He's one of the best backups in the league for the Philadelphia
Eagles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, easy. Settle down.
Can I mention one hypothetical title for a while?
One Derek Carr related item.
Sure.
From the year before, the 2019 one that when Wes was in was on fire. Multiple people wanted to have Sam Darnold over Derek Carr. And Greg said he wanted Andy Dalton over Derek Carr. So we have
what
been
year?
All over the 2019. So we've been all over the mix. Like, he had, outside of that 2016 season, been a largely hot and cold passer.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because that would have meant, I'm sure I was gassed up because Darnold finished well.
You said it was just
season.
Like you were positive
but
about it.
When I made my list for this year, I took out anyone that's just 1 year deep into their career, just because I think you need to see more. And Mac Jones was the only guy, and we'll get into Mac Jones because I think he's an interesting case here. But I removed anybody that's a rookie, anyone that's played only 1 year, and Deshaun Watson. Those are the guys I pulled from the list. Is there any other takes, though, that stood out? Or is that?
That was pretty much right, the biggest thing.
I thought it was because Sheck had brought up Cam. And the idea that there's guys out of the league that can make their way into the Dalton scale. But like year over year, the discussion about the scale itself, it has to be the Dalton scale. It has to remain the Dalton scale. But as a concept, because you go through lists, there's lists online. They have you guys write lists. Everybody does lists. It's hard to get the full context of a list. But what this vehicle provides an opportunity for is to discuss the way that the particular list is made, how important it is for certain things. And so if people look at the list or the consensus list and they're like, oh, you got this guy there, it's impossible. We don't know how they're going to play. We don't know if Derek Carr is going to become the greatest player in the NFL history. We don't know if somebody's going to have a Josh Allen-like revolution.
He's not becoming the greatest player in NFL history. His maturity and his improvement and where he is now, which looking at our rankings, he's at 12, and we all had him almost identical between 12 and 14, so we all saw him in a very similar way, I think is instructive, because he's probably been the same guy for the most part throughout, and we were on the fence whether he's really the guy, much like a lot of Raiders fans out there. And I think now we've come to the conclusion that he is, but part of the reason is that he's improved. Like, you are allowed to improve, and we're baking that into the rankings, who we think can improve, who we don't think will improve. And Carr is undoubtedly a different quarterback than he was 3 years ago when he refused to throw the ball deep, and now he's one of the more effective deep ball throwers in the league. He still has the things that we got concerned about back then, and that's why he's, like, in the 12 to 14 range, and he's not in the top 10. But he got better.
Yeah.
You can get rewarded.
And it should, just so everyone knows, yes, Andy Dalton is essentially being replaced in this conversation, but like, to use a baseball term, the Mendoza line, which was a Mario Mendoza of the 1979 Mariners. That's when that was coined, of a guy that struggles to get over 200 batting average. He's long gone, and yet that's always now how it's known. It's the Mendoza line.
Yep.
That's what the Dalton scale is. It will always be the Dalton scale, but who is the new Dalton? Derek Carr is certainly one of those names. I think, Mark, I want to say for me, and I'm curious anybody else that disagrees, because this isn't a straight QB ranking exercise. We're trying to figure out that prime meridian. But there are 10 names for me that I feel, and I'll do them in order because there's the order of the quarterbacks I had, that are out of the conversation because there's no doubt to me that they belong on the right side of the line. Rodgers, Brady, Josh Allen, Mahomes, Herbert, Burrow, Stafford, Prescott, Russ Wilson, and Lamar Jackson. That's where my list cuts off of debate. I have Kyler Murray still up for debate, Derek Carr up for debate, and then everyone else. Do you guys disagree with that?
Mine is the out of conversation players you mentioned are essentially identical to mine if they're not in the same order. They're essentially identical.
Right. The consensus list you were pretty close to. I mean, Stafford would be part of that for me, and Kyler would too. And Derek Carr would as well, and that's our top 12 on our consensus. I mean, are we really discussing whether Stafford or Kyler Murray are, whether you're set as a franchise quarterback? Both of those two guys, for instance, I think were the best quarterback in the league for about a month at a time. Matthew Stafford was the best quarterback in the league for the playoffs, which is, you know, I think you should get a little extra weight for that. And so he was 8th or 9th on my list overall. He's 10th on the consensus list. And Kyler, even though I guess you want to put him up here, to me, there's not much question. Through 7 weeks last season, he was number 1 on my QB index. And like any quarterback that can put that kind of stretch together, and he's had other stretches for his career. I'm not talking about them, whether they are a franchise quarterback or not. He has done it, and he's been a little more up and down than you would want. And he's had his minor injuries. But to me, those 12, and I'm throwing Carr in there. The consensus list was Rodgers, Mahomes, Brady, Allen, Herbert, Burrow, Dak, Russell Wilson, Lamar, Stafford, and Kyler Murray was the top.
I get why Dan has maybe some Kyler concerns, though, because 2 years in a row, it's been injury-based to some degree, but they've fallen off a cliff as a team. His play fell off at the end of last year, but
other stuff.
There's other stuff. There's the idea that is, like, this guy a natural leader? Is, like, football everything that he cares about? Maturity? But on top of that, if he reaches those MVP levels, if that's what you're going to get if he grows and he becomes more consistent.
He's still young.
Right.
I think I feel, even though I have him outside my top 10, Patrick, I feel totally fine in terms of us reaching a consensus here to have Kyler and Carr on the right side as well. Are you on board with that?
No, 100%. Yeah. I mean, the way I try to break mine down is to go, what unique talents do you have that the rest of the league doesn't offer? And my scale kind of favors that. And Kyler definitely has that. You know, there's this asinine question from the franchise about, you know, the future. Like, he's there. Like, he clearly has the ability, and that's all you're looking for, right? Andrew Luck decided he didn't want to play football anymore. I would have still had Andrew Luck on my team if I could have convinced him to play. And so if you can pay Kyler and he shows up, then yeah, you do that. But yeah, between him and Derek Carr, I've seen enough to say, like, why am I going to go into quarterback purgatory and search for another quarterback when I have a quarterback that I can win with?
So we agreed so much. It's almost outrageous. Like, our top 10s are essentially the same.
It's almost like we do a show together.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't take long to come up with the top 10, right, maybe 2 minutes.
Well, and I think that's reflective of
took me 6 hours.
The whole league.
Tape study.
I think this exercise, the top 12 to 13, and even the top 15, 16, seemed pretty defined. Like, I had Russell Wilson the lowest at 11. Mark had him at 8. Dan at 9. Claybon at 6. But, like, still, what are we talking about here? It's not like I'm burying him. I think his average level of play has been significantly below any of the rest of the top 10 over the last 2 years. We kind of forget that he was meh to start last year, even before the injury. He hasn't played at that, like, really high level in a lot longer than any of those other names like Dak and Burrow. And I'm sure he's going to light it up.
You're saying
this
the same
year.
Thing with Kyler. You're saying, right, I could look at a stretch. What about the first 6 or 7 weeks of 2020? Wasn't he completely on fire?
Yes.
An MVP? Yeah. So I don't think he's really.
That's
debate,
sort of what I mean, that we're almost all agreeing. All these names, including Carr for the most part, are the same. I had Tannehill as my 12, which was the highest I see that anyone.
All right.
Had
so Tannehill, let's start here in Gravedigger. I know this is a sensitive topic for you, so just try to comport yourself with professionalism. Tannehill, you know, we've even, I think, in this exercise made him the Tana scale. We've talked about
that. Was
about
when he was on the Dolphins. At one point, we thought he was the Tana scale.
He fit very well. Guy.
Here we are years later. I have him at 14, Greggy at 12, Mark at 15, and Pat Claybon at 15. So he is certainly in this conversation as that guy, right? And you try not to put too much into one playoff game. And Greg, I know you've talked about it before, that maybe that game wasn't quite as bad as some people remember in the playoffs.
I did rewatch it, the coach's film. That he made a couple of bad throws, but it wasn't the worst game.
The first and last throw were pretty ghastly, but, like, yeah. He was steady. He's a guy that you can trust. He's taken them on deep playoff runs. And yet, where are we now, Claybon and Tannehill, as we spin into 2022?
You felt a regression. I mean, and I haven't gone back and recently watched those games, especially the Bengals game, but it feels like late Dolphins era Tannehill to a certain extent. And when I'm doing the exercise, right, because what I did was I assigned 30 points for accuracy, uniqueness, right?
I love this.
And well as just playmaking. And so the guys that I feel like can't make plays, like, Ryan Tannehill's ability to make plays when athleticism is such a big part of the game, it has diminished recently over the years to me.
Do you see that?
Down a little bit.
Gravedigger, do you agree with that?
For the most part, I think one area Tannehill doesn't add a lot of value is the ability, when things break down, to just make something happen off script, like roll out of the pocket and buy time. Like, he has good athleticism and he can like pick up yards with his legs, but he doesn't like buy time.
He's
buy
a great
time,
red zone runner. Time. One of the better, but in a, like it has to be called for him type way. And the only way I'd push back there is few guys make more plays when just holding on to the ball. Generally holding on to the ball and standing there, not a great idea. Ryan Tannehill continues to make more plays in those situations, which is a hard way to live, waiting for the last second. And to me, that's playmaking. Like holding it for 2.8, staying in there and making tough throws. I don't think any quarterback in the NFL played better compared to his raw stats than Ryan Tannehill last year. When PFF had him in their top five all year long, like it made sense to me watching each one of his snaps. I would rank them in the bottom three or four in terms of how they protected him. The running game was obviously up and down. Maybe he doesn't like elevate you as much as you would like, but to me, he is like absolutely a solution. He's a starting quarterback, and I think he's closer to the Russell Wilson sort of Carr area. Like those three guys, for instance, to me are all in the same area, Tannehill, Carr.
I have them two spots below Matt Ryan, but I'd be willing to flip that if I were trying to build a team at this point.
All right.
And I think he has blazing toughness, but the Titans have told us what they think. They went out and drafted Malik Willis.
Yeah, but it's they drafted four guys before that, and if anyone had drafted, you know, like they expected, they would not end up with Malik Willis.
It's a notable draft pick.
All right, how about Matt Ryan, Mark? Because he's a guy that for years and years and years on this podcast, comfortably in that top 10 to 12 spot. But as he's gotten older and his arm strength is diminished and maybe doesn't move as well, not that he ever moved really well, he's become more of a target for the defense. What do you think about age 37 Matt Ryan in a new setting with a better offensive line?
I think the setting is good the same way the setting was good for Carson Wentz a year ago. And I have much more faith that Matt Ryan can go in there and succeed right away. And everything they've said about him in OTAs, I realize it's OTAs, have been like he's fitting in really well. Everything looks good. He doesn't look 38 necessarily. But at 13, I think he is a candidate to completely drop down this list. If things don't go well, I don't see him sticking at 13. I'm at 13.
Consensus is 14.
Well, you have him higher than the consensus. He's 14.
Dan has 15. Greg has 16. Mark has 13. And Claybon has
13 also. Claybon and I are like in a mind meld here.
I want to say right now, I feel like this is the guy.
Huh.
I feel like Ryan is the dude. But I'm still open to the conversation and hearing different opinions. But when I think about what this is, and I think, Greg, I know what it is. I also think I factor in, you know, down 4, 2 minutes to play. You need it. You need your quarterback to be able to make that drive. If the guy, if in your mind, like Kirk Cousins, think that's why he's on the wrong side because I don't count on him.
Whoa.
Matt Ryan, I think more times than not, he could get it done, especially with a better supporting cast. So I think he's right there, maybe a touch above, but he could be, to me, the primary.
Where you have him on your list at 15, below Ryan Tannehill, above Jalen Hurts, Jimmy G, Carson Wentz, and down and on, that makes sense what you're saying.
Right. I think he's snugly, you know, just above it, but he does hit some of the bells here that Wes would talk about with the Dalton scale. He rises and falls a little bit with his surroundings. But in that way that he's going to a place which I think will have good surroundings for him, especially the coaching getting rid of the ball quickly. I like him in that two-minute situation. I like how accurate he is. I really think he could be like a poor man's Peyton Manning later in his career. Not the last year of Peyton Manning, but
right.
The years
Hope
before
not.
That in Denver, he obviously doesn't have that kind of talent around him. And I think you saw it last year. And it was actually last year that convinced me he's definitely on the right side. Because I think he did about, there were some games where you knew that because they were playing a team with a good pass rush, it just wasn't going to happen. It wasn't going to happen. But if he had any help whatsoever, he would be above that line. And to me, that means you're just above the Daltons.
If it was purely a quarterback rankings list, I would have probably had Matt Ryan higher. But because it's the Dalton scale, right, it's the state of the quarterback position on your team. And I'm not going to have Matt Ryan ahead of Derek Carr, right, at 37.
Because of age.
Or Matthew Stafford or bumping him up. The Cousins thing, I just had to go into the minutia and, like, go tit for tat on my three categories to try to find out.
Two versus each other.
Yeah, they were right next to each other, and I just gave Matt Ryan the edge. I think it wound up being playmaking because it's just so hard to see Kirk Cousins make a play when the play's not going right, and I've seen Matt Ryan do it more. That was really what it came down to.
And you have them both over Tannehill. People just don't.
I mean, you went and did the work. You used your scale.
And it could be dumb, right? Dumb.
Tannehill, for what it's worth, like in terms of numbers, the previous 2 years, and there was no bigger fan in this room during that stretch of him than Wessa, was a top five-ish quarterback. Now, I think you can use your logic and know he wasn't really a top five quarterback, but just pure numbers, that's what he was
Cousins,
2 years before.
Cousins did it again.
Cousins is
this past year because the same last summer and last spring, we were having these same conversations, and then you'd be like, well, look what he just did. And then you look at the numbers. And again, with Kirk Cousins, year after year, the production is there. He completed two-thirds of his passes, over 4,200 yards, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks, passer rating north of 103. And yet we know the story by now about him, that he's not as good as those numbers look. But at the same time, like, if numbers were that easy to attain, and especially if he's in a kind of a stale offense, he has some big playmakers, but like everyone would do it. So to me, it's hard to get an accurate way to read Cousins because he does produce.
He might be the guy then.
I think he fits.
He's annoying.
He fits.
Down 4, 2 minutes to play, need the drive. I don't know, though. I don't know if he's that guy.
They did it a few times.
He did it. And he was great.
He was great in the first half of the season. Through 10 weeks, we were like, wow, this is a bad season for quarterbacks. Cousins is kind of having his best season. Is there an argument that Kirk Cousins this year is one of the top 5 or 6 quarterbacks? But I think it's so telling that about 5 or 6 weeks left in the season, they kind of did a let Kirk cook type of plan of like, we just got to let him throw deeper, be more aggressive. Zimmer was doing, and it all kind of fell apart
after
that.
Wasn't Dalvin Cook injured as well? Speaks to the
It was like, take
West,
over Kirk.
The Wessism is there again. He'll rise and fall. And when the cast went down, so too did their production.
And Wes did, you know, ding Dalton for going into the postseason over and over and completely flopping. I think that matters. I just don't trust. There was a lack of trust with Andy Dalton to rise up in big moments if the environment wasn't right. And I lacked that trust in Kirk Cousins, too.
It's not. I don't even know if it's rising up. Like, to a certain extent, you are that's how good you are. Right. And you need to make a play. Right. You needed to see Joe Burrow be able to spin away from Aaron Donald.
Sure.
But Aaron Donald's one of the greatest players of all time. And so he made the play. And if you don't have the ability to make a play when the play is not there to be made, then
right.
Like, that's you're just Kirk Cousins.
Although in fairness, Dalton. Like he if he was listening to this, he'd probably be like, at least in terms of last year, like, what more do I have to do? Had that play to KJ Osborne to win the game, the play against the Cardinals early in the season, which they came back on, the final couple drives against the Lions early in the season. Like, he did make a lot of big time
plays.
Yeah,
like, Ryan Mallett has highlights, but like,
I get it, but
he's sitting at 15 and he's
right.
appropriate. He's totally inappropriate.
Right. That's where I have him too. And he's a very talented thrower of the football, which I do think gets a little underrated.
Yeah. That's a big reason why he has these numbers. He's good at what he does, but there are also limitations involved.
He might
with
be
him.
The guy. He might be.
My feeling is that he is, at this stage of his career, still just north of that place, which is what explains his contracts he signed,
right.
The way
he's
his career
paid,
has played
like,
out.
Not Andy Dalton.
It's like we're trying to, teams have been tasked with figuring out how do we pay this guy because we think he's the guy, but maybe he's not. And it's worked out for him financially, certainly.
The Vikings, with this new staff, really went through this exercise. When they took over, they had to decide whether he was north or south of the Dalton scale, because they could either tack an extra year onto his contract and kind of kick the can, or if they really thought he was south of the Dalton scale, they just wouldn't have done that. They would have eaten whatever his salary was this year and made it work, and they decided to give him the money.
I do think there's hope that Kevin O'Connell bringing a more Rams-esque type offense will help him grow versus the relationship with Mike Zimmer, which just was such a headache and such a nightmare. He had no belief from his coaching staff.
If he grows, at least like statistically speaking, he's going to be an MVP candidate. Like, he's that close statistically. If he makes a jump from what he's done the last couple of years and is throwing 40 touchdowns and 8 interceptions, like,
couldn't he jump Derek Carr? Couldn't he jump Matt Ryan?
Oh, sure.
I think he's on the right side.
He certainly has at points.
But he's annoying, though.
But for the purpose of the scale, right?
Yes.
Just because guys are lower on the scale doesn't mean the Vikings can't win a Super Bowl. You can still build a team, but ranking the players, I'm not I'm not taking any of those guys that I have ahead of Kirk Cousins, except maybe Matt Ryan.
It's true. If I'm starting a team and Cousins is there, man, that's a tough one. I wouldn't want to be in that spot, and I do want him to eventually end up with Kyle Shanahan like everyone's been talking about forever. But it's like after they're both past their primes. Right. It'll just be like the 49ers have totally fallen apart and Kirk's 39.
It would be like in Carolina in 2029.
Right.
Like the old Muppet guys that are up in the booth during the show. What are their names? Anybody?
I know exactly who you're talking about.
What was that, Kirk?
You like that?
I get
you
it.
Like that?
All right, so Tannehill, Ryan, Cousins are all kind of names that make sense.
Just above it.
Round zero in this conversation. Now, here's a newer name.
Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, it's Statler.
Yeah. There it is. All right, let's take a break and then get to a new name in this conversation.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's talk Jalen Hurts entering year three. Eagles. We know, Greggy, you're pumped up about his ability and what he can bring to this team, even if he doesn't take a big leap in his third season. I have him at 16. Greg has him at 18.
You know what?
Surprising. But you had the rookie.
What Graver pointed out? If you remove the second-year quarterback from the equation, we all had Jalen Hurts 16th exactly.
We all have him
in the same
spot. Yeah. Interesting. What does that mean, Patrick Labon?
It means we watch the games together sometimes. we're on the same page. It's hard to have him higher, right? When we look at all of the guys that we have, it's hard for him to be significantly higher. And then it's very difficult for him to be significantly worse.
He's the median, and yet I don't know if he's like the Dalton scale guy. Because I think based on the numbers and where we all have him and the way I looked at it, like he would be the median right now. Now, is that the prime meridian? Like, he is the middle of the NFL. The thing with Hurts is, like, you expect him either to go up. Maybe he takes a step back if the running game, you know, isn't as dominant. My thing looking at him and just trying to evaluate him, and we took the second-year quarterbacks out of the mix, was I guess I looked at it like if Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson or
Justin Fields
or Trey Lance, I'm putting Mac to the side, but if any of those guys have Jalen Hurts's 2022 season, or 2021 season this year, how will people view it? And now, granted, the running is going to be a little different, but like, I think most people would view that as a big leap, and as a great sign that these quarterbacks are improving and that they're maybe going to get to where you believe they would be when they were drafted. And so I tend to give Jalen Hurts the benefit of the doubt that if he's improved this much in 2 years, why can't he keep improving?
I'm with you. I think he has a high floor. He does bring, to Claibon's point, special skill sets that other quarterbacks do not in many cases. And yet it's a TBD for me. I just think that I think the Eagles need to see more information before they decide what to do next offseason. And I'd like to see more information. 16 feels right.
He's only started 19 games. He's kind of a
tough atypical offense too. Yeah.
We, you know, this is his third year, but he, you know, only started 4 games as a rookie. So it's still,
you could almost take him out, but he is the middle.
But I think we have it kind of right where we're all feeling pretty good about his chances of getting on the right side of it, but it feels premature to give him that nod right now.
Like if we had arrows, right, we would all have an arrow for potential at 16 with Jalen Hurts to go up the list.
Where's Tua's arrow? Consensus 17.
The sideways double arrows.
Yep.
Question
right.
mark.
Right. Well, the situation is so much better.
Yeah.
That you think the production's going to be better, and he seems to be right around that line. Like I've thought like the median for his career will be a Teddy type of career, and Tuanon doesn't want to hear that. But like, it could be worse than that too. He certainly hasn't come out of the gates as good or as well as Teddy did, or you know, some quarterbacks like a Jameis who end up being kind of that middle tier quarterback that doesn't end up sticking. Tua also had about a 6 or 7 game stretch last season where like his strengths really stood out. He gets rid of the ball quickly. He makes decisions quickly. He's on point. He's accurate. He has his limitations, but like you kind of know who Tua is.
I have Tua at 20, and he begins a period of quicksand where every quarterback beyond him, I have almost no faith in. I would never sign up as my starter.
Yikes.
And Tua, I think, is someone, a candidate to be benched early on in this season. So it's like he's in total tryout mode at this point.
21 starts. What do you got, Justin?
Well, I just wanted to say three of you have Jimmy Garoppolo ahead of Tua, but mm-hmm. Claibon has Garoppolo so low on his list that it's weighing him
yeah.
pulling him down.
Down at 27.
Hot guy on hot guy crime.
It's not – I get well soon, Jimmy. I appreciate what Jimmy brings to the table.
It's true. Claibon had Hurts 16 to a 17, and that's where the consensus list ended at 2. I had Tua down at 23. It's tough because
I need to hear more from Patrick because he was just filibustering there.
If the rest of the league was busting down Shanahan's door trying to get Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe I'd feel like I was wrong.
Shoulder surgery. You got to factor that in as well. But he was pretty brutal down the stretch last year.
Well, and he was hurt. He was hurt. So.
I mean, he wasn't great early either. I know the numbers were pretty good, but last year was the worst year of Jimmy Garoppolo's career, no doubt, even before he got hurt, I thought, as like a full-time starter, which was surprising. Tua, you could almost take these. I feel like he's too young, too, and it's a bit of a cop-out, but I think it's just true. But to me, if you're asking the question, like, is your quarterback situation solved with Tua or not, he's below the Dalton scale.
Absolutely. Yep.
I don't feel good enough. Like, I think they're in a good situation that they have Teddy as a backup and that you have another year to find out. But I'm not feeling like that's solved.
And then I think, just like we talked about with the top 10 or 11 names that we all felt were comfortably above, I don't think we need to have much debate about the rest of these names unless somebody wants to chime in. These guys are all, at this point in their careers, comfortably below the line. Let's see. That would be in the consensus list. Winston, Garoppolo, Baker, Teddy, Daniel Jones, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, Marcus Mariota, Geno, Jake Brisket, Mitch Trubisky, Drew Lock, and Sam Darnold. Anybody want to make a case for one of those guys being in the conversation as the prime Meridian?
No.
A credible case?
I
do it, Greg. Go, James Winston.
Yeah,
I know you want to do it.
Well, I think Jameis Winston has been incredibly productive. And it's coming off the season where he made the fewest amount of mistakes and had the best numbers of his career. I don't think he was as good as the fact that at one point in the season, he was leading the league in EPA per play, and he was already done for the season. Like, he wasn't that. But man, he shows you a lot of the things that you want in an NFL quarterback. He plays really well from the pocket. He shows anticipation. Could he mature and get ahead of that line a little bit like Derek Carr did, improving in his late 20s? I believe it. I believe it. I don't think he should be the line right now. I have him below. I have him at 20. He's actually my first name under what my Dalton scale would be. I'd have Hurts as the last one above it, and then Jameis as the first one below it. But to me, him and Baker are very close to that line in that they're going to go up and down with the people around them, and that it wouldn't surprise me if they put together a couple years straight of good play where we think this is way too low for the two of those guys.
If you go back to that 2019 episode again where Baker was coming off his rookie year, this was a sort of a stunning conversation we had. I had Baker Mayfield as the ninth best quarterback in the league. Greg had him as the eighth. Oof. Dan the 13th. Dan was the closest. Wes had him as the fifth. That shows you how quickly things change. And now Baker is, well, I think he is below
that
line.
Off of
the
his,
league's telling
his
you that.
Rookie season.
Right.
So that yeah.
But he's a quarterback like a lot of these guys at the bottom half here.
I mean, if he was on the Jets, I'd have him at wherever you had him too. No, these
right.
things factor in.
Right. No, you made a strong case, though. You had him clumped up with like Jared Goff and others, but
it's a reason not to rank these guys for this exercise specifically in the first 2 years, because it's tough.
There's so much environment going on with how they perform, and when the environment changes, this bottom third can crumble very quickly.
Injuries were a huge factor in the way that I did mine out. That's probably why Jimmy G is so low, why Baker gets punished, and why Jameis is... You know, it's hard to see them anywhere on the other side of the line, just because like they have such a huge hill to climb just to even
this year. But I think it was interesting that they gave Jameis such a big contract, the Saints, when they didn't need to, when they obviously wanted a different quarterback, they wanted Deshaun Watson. But man, I know we do this with Jameis all the time, but the man is only 28 years old. The production, and I think he is a perfect guy to have this conversation with. If you put him on those Titans teams, you're telling me he wouldn't have been productive? Like, to me, he is going to rise and fall, and he's probably right around that line, I think.
He's close. Something about it doesn't ring true for me,
though. Yeah, because down four with the game on the line, he's throwing a pick six.
There's that also.
And
come on.
And Matthew Stafford threw that
he's
pick six a whole bunch. But when you have the ability, eventually you're going to put in a position where if you make plays and you're a guy who takes risks, you make a no-look pass and you win the Super Bowl. Like sometimes it just...
Right. Those guys are getting punished than they should, Baker, Jameis, and Jimmy, because we've seen so much of them that kind of now we know that at best you're like a 1A where you need to be replaced. I think Daniel Jones is a tough one again to put in there just because of the situation. Yes, he's below the line. But I think he'll have a chance this year. Man, I thought he really showed strides early last year before everything crumbled. And I haven't totally
given up on
him.
He needs to put it together for 17 games, though, you know, at this point. Before we kind of get to our choices for the Prime Meridian, and then maybe we could get a consensus choice, we should hit Mac Jones because he was the only guy that kind of stood apart from the rookies last year. Like, I initially, when I was putting them in, I had him, I think, either right above or right behind Jalen Hurts, so around 16 or so. And I think the reason why he's so different is, A, he had a much better season than the other rookies, but, B, he was also in a much better surrounding. So you could definitely make the case that Mac Jones is in this conversation already. So that's another name to throw in there. It's just a little tough for a guy that only has 16, 17 starts.
I have him at 17, and I think he's above the line from what we've seen. But again, things can change so much in season two.
You know, he did trail off last year as well. So it's not a shot against him because he was a rookie and it was a good rookie year. I just need to see more. That's really when I came down on it.
You got him at 14, Greg.
I mean, if the exercise was just who do I want for the next 5 years, I'd have him even higher than that. Now, I could be wrong, like I was wrong about Baker after 1 year, but I think his skill set will travel. And there's this idea that like he was in a better situation than all the other rookies. And I think that's true, but I also don't think it was an exceptional situation. It was not their best year for their offensive line. It is not an amazing group of talented players around him. And I think he's got skill sets that tend to be pretty consistent and that he should be a top 10 type of quarterback.
The coaching, the organization.
Absolutely.
He had his health.
I'm just saying his number one wide receiver was Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah.
So, and the offensive line was just not as good as it was the previous couple of years. It wasn't wasn't bad either.
They spent a ton of money to improve the offense.
Absolutely. It's very similar to the Jaguars, where I think they spent a lot and they went from like the 32nd group around Cam Newton to like the 18th or 19th. But it wasn't like an amazing group of players.
That's more Hunter about where Henry. He's ranked, though. But,
right.
But he there's a group of these players that are mysterious to us still that simply do not fit for the Dalton figure.
No. Right. He doesn't really fit in this.
Doesn't.
Because I would much rather have him than Kirk Cousins or Tannehill or Derek Carr, for that matter.
See, like that's why I need to see more before I say that. But that's... If you're making more in general.
If someone was making you choose right now, though.
Yeah.
You would still...
You would go with those guys for the next 3 or 4 years, let's say. Danny?
Yeah. We'll name them again.
Kirk. You know, Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, Derek Carr. Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins.
If only because they have a more established resume, and I don't know. I just want to see more from Mac Jones. That's all.
That's fair.
But it was a very promising rookie year. I could look like a moron this time next year when we have this conversation.
But how about the OTA conversation that he's hitting a lot of deep throws? He's worked on those dead bodies.
He's more muscle-bound now,
best shape
according
of his
to
life.
Reports.
I buy into it.
He's doing hand
I'm all plans. In on Mac.
Workout montage.
All right, so.
Not a Pats fan that I much will, anymore, but I'm all in on Mac.
What did you say? You're not.
I said I'm not as much of a Pat. It's a weird feeling because I feel like I'm so much higher than consensus on their quarterback, and I really don't think it's,
but you know
it's
what?
My bias.
That's subconscious. You still are a Patriots fan.
I like him a little bit more. I like different types, but he really reminds me of Phillip Rivers, and I think that skill set's going to travel.
All right.
Nice.
But let's not pretend you're not a Patriots fan.
No, I am. I am a Patriots fan.
I thought that's what you just said, though.
Not as much as a team, but Mac.
Well, that's, you know,
I'm in on Mac.
That's a tough look too. That it started to diminish as soon as Tom Brady left.
I told you guys that
it's
even
not a
before
good look.
That. I remember Wes got furious. I was like, absolutely, I'm going to be less of a fan when he leaves. It's like you already experienced the highest of highs. What's the point?
Why do we dictate to other people how they like things?
Right.
Like,
things come and go in your life.
To the Around the NFL
Well, do you think it's a good? Do you think it's a good look though?
I think the whole concept of a bad look is dumb.
Well, all right.
Like, the thing is whatever the thing is.
That just drops a nuclear bomb on the whole conversation.
Your passions, you know, they come and go over time. But I'm sort of like, it's like after I had already gotten drunk as much as I could, staying out till 4 or 5 in the morning, like 3 to 5 times a week in New Orleans, I truly had a thought that like, it's never going to top that. I know. I'm going to say it's never going to top that. So I'm kind of done just like being the going out drinking guy.
So we missed that era of Greg. We have to deal with the post-party boy, Greg.
I mean, I was still annoying back then. It was like the personality was within me. I just was out.
So you're hanging out with this post-Pridecast if you hadn't had your party
boy days.
It was
my kids' last day of school. They were at the beach. They needed to be picked up.
Yeah, what about us?
Yeah, Mark.
The kids mattered more.
That is a great way to put it.
That's your answer.
Gravedigger, did you find it slightly off-putting that Greg finished the pod and took off?
Slightly off-putting.
First of all, I stayed for an hour making other parents watch my kids at the beach while the entire school, I mean, what gets more SoCal than that? They're celebrating the last day of school, then they all go to the beach, and I'm not even there.
You know, Greg, we get it. You're plugged in with your children.
But it was such a great bonding experience for the rest of us who stayed.
Randy Chavez behind the glass.
We had a great time.
I don't know. Johnny I stayed Kelly. An extra hour, and you were already getting ready to go when I left. So I don't know, this might be.
We had a marvelous time.
Don't head out. We went to a second location. Nice time.
Were they all there?
Yeah, I think the whole crew.
It was one group supporting and lifting each other up.
Justin, what I did, I pulled you aside, and I said, don't stress at all about getting the show up. We're here to have a good time and celebrate everything.
Erica made us all stay until Jet showed up, so we did.
That's true. Then we left. I was trying to get out of there before that, and Eric was like, I'll kill you if you leave before Jet gets
That's when it got a little tricky at that point.
Yeah, a little tricky. Yeah. This was getting later.
You guys should try parenting if you ever want to leave a situation.
That's true. All right, here we go. One more break, and then we're going to figure this out. Probably not.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, so I'll stick with where I came down earlier on the show. I think Matt Ryan's the pick for me. I like Matt Ryan a lot. I like his chances in Indy, but I also think he's right there now where he, and I think that's there's a reason why that's where the Colts ended up digging out of their issue here with Carson Wentz. And they remember we talked about it earlier in the offseason about now what do the Colts do? And they had to figure out some, and I think this was like the best case scenario that they get Matt Ryan, but still it's this version of Matt Ryan is very different than the guy that went to the Super Bowl 5 years ago. So I think he's the guy. Greg, who is your nomination?
Gosh. Well, I'm so confused now after doing this exercise because Hurts felt like the guy, but maybe he just doesn't make sense because he's too young. Like he's an evolving player. If we all had him 16, he felt like the guy. But I truly believe that Jameis makes more sense as the median. That if you're Jameis or below, you need a franchise quarterback. And if you have someone better than Jameis, in my mind, that would include Hurts, that would include Ryan, Cousins, Mac, Derek Carr. Like then you're good. So I actually think Jameis is.
But so the
median is the middle.
So the player himself,
yes,
is not the guy that should be replaced. He's the guy that is in purgatory. Is
he
right
is
then.
In between
the dead zone,
yes,
in the middle?
He's
right,
in the
right
dead
there.
Zone.
Because
right.
I think you
phantom zone.
You ranked Matt Ryan 15th. Okay, so that's pretty similar to me. But to me, you don't need another starter if you have Matt Ryan, in my mind. So it has to be someone below it. I don't know, Hurts, Jimmy G. I'm going to go Jameis.
Hurts is kind of a weird one in this exercise.
Hurts, it doesn't work.
I think
right,
you just removed
it. Hurts doesn't work.
So for me, because I have to go off my list, Matt Ryan is a little too high for him for me to agree there. I'm going Kirk Cousins at 15. I think he's in that middle spot where he is a starter. He has issues. We feel frustrated by him, which were the feelings that I had about Andy Dalton. But then from there, it goes to the netherworld of Mac Jones and Jalen Hurts. We need to see more. And from there, it drops off to Jimmy G. And the Niners have essentially made massive efforts to replace him. Yeah. And then after that, it's backups and fill in the blank nondescript.
Doesn't it feel like it's Kirk Cousins' destiny to become the Dalton scale?
It also fits as a sort of the person himself.
Wes would hate this because he always was like, we bagged on Kirk Cousins, especially in the 2013 to 2015 early window before he begrudgingly got everyone's respect. I felt like Wes was mostly on an island being like, this guy's a good quarterback.
Well, that's why we were kissing Cousins, Greg. On that side of the table, he and I both had our Kirk Cousins moment. There was a little bit of a Shanahan fascination there.
But you can't stay as good forever. I think he's declining into the Dalton scale.
It will happen eventually.
Yes.
Yeah, you say he's there already.
I think he's
a year away maybe.
I think he's a year away.
All right, Claybon.
And that's why I really had to go into it to try to figure out to slice this bread between Ryan Tannehill and Kirk Cousins. and just the recent statistical success of Kirk Cousins and like the plays that he has made, like you mentioned, Greg, I had to put Kirk Cousins on the other side. I think Ryan Tannehill is the my scale.
I love this.
Player.
So we have four different options. So, and maybe just for fun, maybe we'll have a vote, put it on the subreddit or on Instagram or both. Because I'm nominating Matt Ryan, Greg, Jameis Winston, Mark, Kirk Cousins, and Claybon, Ryan Tannehill. So we don't have any way to break the tie within this room.
I love it.
Which is great.
Now, when we did this, I really looked at it and thought, like, I don't know, this year, I don't know if there is
but
a perfect one.
I will say that, I'll say this, like, Winston to me, I'm just not on board with him being that high in this conversation. Cousins to me, I think like what we just said, maybe a year or two away from dipping down and being that guy. Claybon with Tannehill, that would be the one other than Matt Ryan that I would feel good about and be like, okay, if we're going for a consensus, Tannehill makes sense. Even though on my list, he's just above the line, but I understand both sides. How annoyed would you be, Gravedigger, if that's how like the voting came down with the listenership?
Not that annoyed. I think it makes sense.
He's flirted with it before, too. He came very close
back when
to being
he was with Miami.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been a much better player
and
since
yet,
then.
Like, it doesn't make sense this year, but I really think of the guys on our consensus list around the middle, we had Jalen Hurts 16 and Tua 17th. Tua feels like a future Dalton scale type of guy that like you can never quite decide. And I think it's too early in his career to totally put that on him. But when you think of players that he's like, I think of Alex Smith, who was very much a Dalton scale guy. I think of Teddy, who's a little below, but I appreciated that you guys actually had Teddy a little higher on your list than me. And isn't that
I did
below?
That just for you. Actually.
Yeah, thank you. And so it's like, I think that could be to his future, but I think we're all uncomfortable. We're all uncomfortable about second-year players on this list. It just doesn't quite fit.
Yeah, Tannehill, I think... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. I would say Tannehill makes sense because the Titans are, like, trying to figure out if they need to replace him right,
right.
now.
Exactly.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge indicator with some of these guys. Jimmy G, in the same boat.
If I'm going down my list, right, and I'm looking at the scenario, I would rather figure it out with Tua. I'd rather figure it out with Jalen Hurts because... You can get a big win there, right? In terms of the guys having the potential. I don't see anybody underneath that fits better than Ryan Tannehill to me. Like that, it just keeps being the line no matter how many times.
I don't know how we got back into 2012, 2013, and I'm somehow like Ryan Tannehill's biggest fan here. But I am just saying, like, no one else in this range, and I guess Kirk maybe would be, would have been top five PFF, you know, grades two straight years. And then last year, I know he was in the top 10. EPA per play, like, among the best quarterbacks in the league over the last 3 years. Last 3 years in aggregate, his numbers and his grades, and he's only 33 years old. He deserves a little more respect. But I do understand it. The eye test is...
All right.
Different.
Well, does this... Because it'll be fun to see what the listeners think. But does this episode fail in its conceit if we don't have a consensus at the end of the show? Or is it okay for it to be open-ended, Mark?
I think it's okay for it to be open-ended because we each came up with the answer. I'm not shifting off of my answer
right.
at this point.
I refuse to move.
It's like the Sopranos finale. I always liked it. I liked it being open-ended.
We're going to cut to
I
black?
Liked it in the moment. It was 15 years ago this day or 2 days ago, I believe. It was the anniversary, and I liked it in the moment.
All right. Claybon, I just want to make it known that I would be okay to move to your vote. But at the same time, now everyone's dug in. So let's
it's not a Sopranos thing because we did definitively say what our picks are.
It's also right. like a sign that like the Dalton scale is perfect in its concept and yes. in its creation, and that Andy Dalton was the perfect person for it. And we've never come up with another person. Alex Smith felt good for like a year or two, but then he like started throwing deep. Like Andy Dalton was the perfect answer. It's kind of like. I don't know. It's like the perfect law for its time, but times change, you know.
Where I'm with Dan, if I were forced, under duress to go in another direction, Tannehill, much more for me than Jameis Winston. Apologies, Greg.
I would go Ryan of all the other choices. I would go with Dan.
But Ryan, also, Dan's this is like, Ryan. Are we, Ryan's career could be over in 500 days. Like, are we looking for someone that's going to be out of the league in a year? 2 years.
All right. Well, we've certainly given you, the listener, a lot to think about. Thank you to Patrick Claibon for joining us. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll be back on Thursday with another remote show. We're going to be in Santa Monica for the Talent Summit, NFL Media Talent Summit. We're going to be poolside, and we're going to try to wrangle up some guests from the NFL media personality and analyst world. So that will be fun. And oh, my goodness, a guy in a members only jacket just walked in, and we do have a consensus. The Andy Dalton scale, the winner this year, is the man that is the Prime Meridian, is.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.